Paul, when you're bringing 55 back into the lineup like you are tonight, do you look to ease him into the lineup and looking for better matchups for him, or how do you do it?
No, throw him right into his normal role. It's what he understands. It's how he prepares for the game. We'll ask him just to monitor his shift length, not make a change from normal, but just not get into extended situations if he can. And then, so even if he's not, so he had an upper body injury. He's been skating. He's been pushing himself, so he has that advantage. Conditioning's not an issue from a base. He's a very, very fit man. And then he needs to get right back to being as good as he can be into a normal game shape, game quickness, as fast as we can. So I won't, unless I see something in the game, I won't go out onto the bench thinking any differently about Mark than I did, you know, prior to his injury.
How long do you think it'll take for him to sort of reach that top level?
I don't know the answer. It might be 1 minute. There's no reason to think that he can't jump right back out and be a great player. He's got a bunch of games under his belt. He's trained hard. He's practiced hard. We didn't, you know, it wasn't one practice. And he said he's had a block of practice that you almost never get in the middle of an NHL season. So I'm not thinking about Mark coming off an injury in this game. He's not a player that I'm putting in that's 75% either. Right, he's as healthy as you can be to go back into this game. So I won't think at all about him. I'll watch the game. If it's be no different than any other player, though, if it's not going for him, I'm going to move the matchup. I'll move some things around, but I won't be looking for it.
Can you update us on Mason and Hutch, please?
Mason, yes. Hutch, nothing's changed for Michael. Steve skated again today, so that's a positive that he goes back-to-back. That's all we're looking for now is that once he starts something, if he can feel good for the rest of the day, then he'll do it again tomorrow and tomorrow until we get enough time in on that, and then you just gradually raise the intensity level of that practice, but back-to-back is a good sign.
Just last one about Mark. Paul, what things, he's obviously going to be looking to get back into a game rhythm. What things do you look for as a coach to know that he's back into that game rhythm?
Just reactions around the puck for a guy like that. You know, face-offs a bit, but I won't be overly concerned about that, how sharp he is in the circle if he's going, and he may well be. If not, Wheeler can take the face-off, so we have coverage there. His routes and his quickness on reads, right? How fast he gets it and moves it, how quick he picks up the reads, those kind of things will tell you.
You tried that top line in preseason and a little bit during the year. I mean, what kind of things will you be looking for in terms of Patrick fitting with those two?
Yeah, so we haven't loved it yet, right? It's a good idea, but Patty spent some time. He'd prefer to play the left. We found him to be a faster player on the right, except we're starting to see the signs of it on the left now. There's some comfort there, a little stronger in his own end, so that's a good thing. All Patty needs to do there is run his routes and play a basic game, right? Just finish checks you're supposed to, straight line routes, and then not worry about his own game, you know, not worry about fitting pucks into those two guys to keep him happy. He's a shooter. It's got to get off his stick when he has that chance. I'm not really putting those three guys together to make them go. I like where Little's line is. I like where Cops. The rest of the structure of our group is right based on the players that we have in the lineup, so he went back into the middle. Wheeler goes to the right. Patty was the right, correct guy to go there.
How does Schwartz didn't play last time you saw St. Louis? How does he change the dynamic with his speed on the wall?
The speed on the wall for sure, but the playmaking as well, and he's just another really, really good offensive player. So in the same way he's improved their team, Mark will come in and give us that boost.
What did you like about the chemistry between Dano and Patan the other night, Paul?
I thought they were on the puck very well, right, and never stopped moving, which is important for those guys. They've got to use their feet and their legs to get them on the right side of guys. And had lots of jump. Like they played at a higher level than you see a lot of kind of young guys come in where they don't want to make a mistake. Nick's been here enough, played enough games now where he can just go out and play. There's no kind of learning curve for him here. I thought they were good in the minutes that they got. They outplayed the line they played against.
Paul, what did you learn about your group in the 16 games that Mark was out?
So a bunch of things are running concurrently there. We lose a key piece to our offensive game, but at the same time we brought a guy in who was a slightly different style than Mark, but really effective at center ice. And this all happened right at the time. I feel like the league changes gears where the grind comes in. And, you know, that playoff hockey idea is nobody's taking chances that they shouldn't take. And then when you've got the puck, they're behind it. There's nobody looping. They're on top of you. It becomes a much more of a grinding game. So I think we've accepted that and moved into that. Whether part of that was we've lost Mark now, we got to play a little tighter game, we're not going to generate the kind of offense. I'm not sure where the balance is in this. There's not as much offense at this time of year, it seems, as there is earlier in the year. Whether that was Mark coming out of our lineup or just where the game went, I don't know how to measure that. But I'm pleased that we were able to not try to force that offensive game in a game that now has shifted to not allowing you to. Whether Mark's in our lineup or not, that's something that we have to deal with. That was a ramble. Follow that one.
I may ramble here. Yeah. Sorry. You talked a little bit yesterday about when you make decisions.
It made complete sense to me, though, if that helps.
You talked about making decisions and not wanting to take too much ice away from certain players when you make those decisions.
Right.
You've also talked how losing ice time is a sacrifice that you have to make on this team when you've got this good of a team, and that you've been able to get through it because everyone's feeling that pain. But I was hoping you could talk to me a little bit about the importance of rhythm in a hockey player's game and how you've been able to seemingly avoid taking players out of their rhythm while cutting and moving ice time around this year.
Well, it comes from the willingness of the player. The first guys that kind of get shocked with the adjustment are guys who've been here for a long time, and they get cut back a little bit because now they are out of a rhythm and they've been good players here, but the team hasn't won. So that's the kind of in. We're winning a little bit here, and they know they've sacrificed, but they're willing to. So that's how we got through that. Then, you know, I mean, that being said, like Scheif and Wheels are still playing close to 20 minutes. So there's guys that they're still getting it, but they may not be coming off the bench in the normal order that they used to. But they're putting numbers up, so that makes it okay. The people that I thought early on made big sacrifices were Matty Perreault, but again, still produced an awful lot, right? It was a good line with Armia and Hendricks, so they liked that. Brian Little's line for a while when Lowry was healthy, that was another. He played 11 minutes, I think, one night at home against Minnesota. That's lower than I wanted. The way the rhythm of the game went, you know, I cut them back. But because there was a group of them, and on the back end as well, all three righties want to play more, right? Josh Morrissey's probably the one guy whose minutes were high enough for him not to really want more, except he probably wouldn't mind getting out in the power play every once in a while, too. So then they can kind of all sit in the room and I can't use that word, but they can commiserate together. But the team's winning, so they're fine with it. I mean, players will make sacrifices for the greater good as long as, one, they feel they're performing pretty well, and we have been, and the team's winning.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that's all mental. Is there not a physical aspect to it that your body's
sure.
not...
Sure, so there's an adjustment to it. And I thought that later October and into November, we started to make they got used to it. The positive should be is if you can get it right, everybody should be able to go harder, which is where I think we're trying to get to. We roll four here. Everybody can push harder. Shift link has to be right. Those are the things that get out of whack. Shift link gets out of whack. He's been sitting on the bench longer than he wants to. Now he stays a minute. The other three guys are on the bench. What's the problem? So that's where you make adjustments as a coach. He's still going to reset on the timeouts. So those guys that are used to going get to go. And then you do get into some games where you can tell you're not, and you just say, I got to get the top end going. And then you get that fourth line. We'll sit for 6 or 7 minutes just to get the top guys into a better rhythm.